The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
All right, welcome in to another edition of the Two Man Game Podcast with UNC head basketball coach Steve Smiley. I'm Brady Hull. Coach, we didn't have a show last week, so we got a lot to catch up on. We're filling the roster. We got national college news. All that to get into today.
Well, and the first question is, we see the waves moving like on the technology. We're
look
good
for the waves.
But yeah, we didn't go last week, and the reason, you know, everyone wants to know why. Like my mom today, she's like, "When are you doing the podcast?" I'm like, "I'm actually driving there right now." She's like, "I keep checking every day." I said, "Mom, I told you we're not going to do one last week." But why? Like the listeners, the audience wants to know.
They want to know
because we had visits literally every day. So before getting into the roster and stuff, this is kind of cool. All right. Fly a guy out, let's just say Sunday night. Okay, Sunday night, gets here, have dinner, you know, get up with the players, whatever. That's all we do that night. The visit's the next day. So let's just call it Monday. So Monday, I mean, it's hitting 8 a.m. breakfast, you know, all the way through to like roughly 3, 4, or 5 in the afternoon. Boom, they're gone. The next guy arrives maybe at 6 o'clock at night. So you might have one assistant coach that is kind of this person's recruiting coach. They drive him to the airport. The next person arrives, maybe with another assistant coach. Rinse and repeat. So then it's like that person gets there at 5 o'clock. We might have dinner like 6 or 7. So we eat, and then they, you know, go with our players, hotel, you know, whatever. Maybe it's the parent, whatever, goes to the hotel, hang out with them for a little bit, have their visit Tuesday. We did 5 of those last week. So the reason we didn't have a podcast last week is there was no time, even if we wanted to move Thursday 8 a.m. to – there was no time. So I appreciate your flexibility, Brady.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah,
I always know
it was chaos.
Late April, regardless of what the roster looks like, you're going to be – there's going to be a really good chance that we're not going to be able to hit the podcast.
So we got through that week. The roster's not fully full. Bad English on my part. But we're 12 of 14 spots. We are really close to having this thing done. We are in a great spot. We can revisit all the way back to Campbell Blogg and Andrew Crawford, but we've signed 4 guys in the spring that we are just ecstatic about. And even before you get to those guys, the portal closed officially, so we can officially, and this is kind of – we're doing this luncheon next week for some of our round ball people. And then you're going to be there, and it's in a great spot. But it's like we can officially say that 6 guys are coming back, which would be, I know I'm going to butcher this somehow, but Vince Delano, Ian Shields, Hunter Caldwell, Arik Muyen, Tanner Burkita, and Steven Ramirez. So 6 guys coming back. And so you look at, okay, well, 6 out of 14, almost half the roster's back, which is, again, what we've always tried to hope for. Signed 2 guys in the fall, Drew Payne, Jeremiah Hammond. So 6 plus 2 in my world says 8. So 8 out of 14. We've signed 4 guys in the spring. Not all portal guys, because Campbell Blogg is not in the portal. He's straight from Australia, but an older player with phenomenal experience, as much high-level experience as any one of these portal guys. So Campbell Blogg, 9. Andrew Crawford, 10. Keontae Tramble, who I'm sure we'll talk about, 11. Caden Rayfield, 12. 12 of 14
done.
You're
getting there, man. You're getting there.
And literally, we got a couple of Zooms today. This week now, once we got Caden Rayfield signed, this is crazy, too. I'll give you one more story and then just wherever you want to take this. But so Caden Rayfield was an extremely important priority, kind of down to just needing some bigger forwards, fours. When you're bored after this, search Caden Rayfield, whatever you want to search, it'll pop up. It'll show you his offers out of high school. He's a 27th ranked power forward in America out of high school. offers from Oklahoma, Iowa. It's all over the place, right? Went to UTSA. Had a good freshman year in the American. The American Conference is a great conference.
Yeah,
South Florida
sure.
won that. Great. He averaged like 7-5 as a true freshman in that conference.
Wow.
He's really good. Point being is that we had him on campus Friday. I didn't think he'd commit on the visit, but I was hoping. And he didn't, but he's like, "Hey, I'm going to call you tomorrow morning." And by all intentions from his dad who's on the visit, you know, talking to his agent, his post-grad program, all intentions were we were going to get this thing done on Saturday morning. Well, I had a flight booked Saturday early afternoon to go to Salt Lake City. My daughter was playing in a huge national club volleyball tournament, which I always go to with my wife, and we drive out there, but we got too many visits. So my wife drove out there with my daughter. My idea was if this dude commits, I'm flying out Saturday one way so that I'll stay there through the rest of the week and then driving them back Monday because the volleyball stuff goes through Monday. So I'm just like, dude, come on, call. He FaceTimes me at like 10 a.m., gives us the green light. And knowing that, we actually had another visit that we canceled on Sunday because Caden Rayfield was you know, that spot was his if he said yes. If he said no, though, we're going through with the visit on Sunday, and I'm not going to Salt Lake. So this is going down literally Brady to the minute. And he commits. Young Madden drives me to the airport, drops me at the airport on his way to do some runs in Denver with some pretty like high-level high school and college dudes. So we had it all planned. He going to drop me off. He drops me at the airport. I had a chance to enjoy my daughter and my wife, you know, the rest of the day, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and we drove back Monday night. Got back at like midnight, Monday night, from Salt Lake City. So this is like the intersection of, you know, professional job and personal. This stuff just gets muddy, yeah. But you got to be proactive, and things worked out. So, anyways, that is my like life story. Where do you want to take this podcast?
Well, I mean, I want to talk about so many different players.
Sure.
Obviously, you know, we'll start with. I know we touched on the Andrew Crawford thing a little bit, but University of Colorado guard. I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, is this going to be another Dalen Kuntz type situation? Yeah. You also got him from Colorado.
Yeah, similar story, different player, similar story in the sense, you know, Andrew was a top 80 player in the country out of high school. You go through and look at his, you know, he picks CU over Oregon and all these other, like, he's a really, really talented player. And so he redshirted his first year, and then this year he just didn't crack through the rotation. Very similar to what Dalen Kuntz was.
Sure.
Different player. And I've told Andrew, like, in recruiting, like, your story could be similar to a Dalen Kuntz, but like your playing style, it's totally different. Swiss Army knife, you know, 6'7", 6'8", big player, could play a three, could play a one. He was the point guard at Thunder Ridge in high school. You know, he played, and one thing was we were assuming maybe he gets in the portal. So when they went to the Crown, and when Isaiah Johnson, Seb Ronchick, and Ben Gaddak elected to not play, right? You know the stories.
Yep.
He played 18 minutes in the Crown this year, and he really played more so four than anything else, which, again, that's not where we're recruiting to be, but we saw he could do it against Power Four teams. He was really good in that game against Oklahoma. So we're like, man, if he gets in the portal, this guy could be a great fit, and what a great kid. So he was a huge – the first focus, the Campbell blog, Australia.
Yeah, really excited
about him. People are going to have to wait to see him, but, like, he's really good. And then Crawford, when he popped the portal, like, we got to go attack this thing, and we were not the only ones. And so – we were very grateful. He called me when Caden Rayfield called me Saturday morning. Andrew Crawford called me the Saturday before, and he actually canceled his final visit. Said, "Hey, I'm not going to go on the visit. I'm in." We're like, "Whoa!" We're like, "Okay, great, big deal." Because he's the Swiss Army knife. If you want to compare him to somebody, again, totally different player. But like, you know, think about how Langston Reynolds played for us, where he was like a three. He was our second leading assist guy. Oh, we got to play a little smaller. He could be a four, like. The versatility of Andrew Crawford is how I view him, like, critical piece. So happy we got him. So, yeah, that got us to the second guy. I mean, do you want to talk about him at all?
Yeah, we can go through – I want to kind of go through the list with you. Yeah.
So Crawford, I mean, yeah, again, lefty, lefty.
He's a big guard. Like you said, he's versatile.
Big,
he can play
man,
so many
like,
different positions.
You know, we had him over, him and his dad, on his official visit, brought him over to the house for team meal, and our guys were coming back, and – and the fam was there and stuff, and, you know, the coach's wives and stuff. And Madden was like, he's like, man, I didn't realize how big this guy is. You know, cause all these guys kind of run in similar circles. He's like, Dad, he's really – I said, yeah, I mean, he lifts him 6'8". Maybe he is, but he's 6'7", 6'8". Body's good, man. And the thing about him, too, I'll give another little behind the scenes. He was sick on his visit, came up, and so it's like, all right, man, you know, we're gonna run around and do a little workout stuff. Let you play with the guys, and so a lot of guys don't even want to do it. A lot of guys stun on that. He's like, no, I want to hoop. But he came up and he's kind of sick on his visit, and says, no, I'll be fine. He's out there hacking a lung up and stuff. Well, the next day, his parents actually take him to the doctor, and he's sick. And so he had to push his visit back two more days to the last place because he needed to get some antibiotics. The point being is that dude played every single game with our guys and never complained once about him. Like, this is our type of guy, yep. Man. So, like, yeah, I'm super excited. Great kid. I just think that, you know, the ceiling is through the roof of what he could be. So, and I think he's very humble and very excited to have an opportunity to have a big role. So that's kind of his story.
Obviously, you have a good relationship with Tad Boyle.
Yeah.
So are there conversations before and after?
Yeah, no, I reached out to him and said, we're going to try to get him, you know, and his staff too, as soon as he got in the portal. And so, like, those guys, it's just like us, they'll have kind of their – maybe we call them exit meetings or whatever it is. Like, hey, what's your intentions? So, like, you know, I talked to Coach Boyle a lot, and he's like, yeah, I think he's going to get in the portal. And he's like, yep, he's in the portal. And so, like, I think that when you look at, you know, where he's coming from, I think those are good people, and I think they want to see their players land at good places. If it's not right, you know, where they're at, well, let's help these guys out. It's kind of the same situation with us.
Well, you know, we mentioned it, not the same player as Dalen Kuntz, but kind of a similar situation.
Similar story,
where
yeah.
Tad
highest level guy.
Likes him, but you know, there's just not enough minutes to go around for him to actually justify staying there.
And I don't know how the whole thing works, how those conversations go, but you get to your second year, like, it's like a lot of people say, hey, man, get through 2 years, see where it goes. And then it's like, all right, well, where do you see me at? Am I in a rotation? Am I playing 25? I don't know how those conversations go. But if it's not like that, it's like, man, you know, the clock's ticking on all of our careers. Let's go to a place where I got a real opportunity to play. I think that's how it goes. But, yeah. Coach Boyle was great in the process.
Coach, let's keep going through some of these guys. You got another guard, a little bit smaller than Crawford, but guy from Southern Mississippi.
Keontae Tramble. So, again, like a guy like Andrew Crawford, like, we couldn't recruit him out of high school because, again, he's four-star, top 100 player. Like, there's not a lot of guys running our league like that. So it's like, all right, that's a big get. So Tramble is very similar, as will Caden Rayfield when we get to him as well. But Tramble, Oklahoma City kid, lost the state championship, had a great high school career, high-level career, goes junior college. And that's like a big piece of the story. Goes to Independence. You ever seen Last Chance U?
Yes, yeah.
The football Independence, the crazy guy. I don't know, the guy's Jason something. The football, you know, the guy that before we went to the basketball, the East LA stuff, it was like,
I can't think of his name.
There was a East Mississippi, then there was Independence, okay? Crazy. Like, if you're bored, go back and watch that stuff. This is the school that Keontae Tramble went to, Independence in Kansas, okay? So in the Jayhawk, one of the best leagues, if not the best league in the country. But, like, Independence is known for Last Chance U football, not basketball. But I think the guy's named Jason Bryce. He's psycho.
Yeah,
I don't know the guy.
That sounds right, yeah.
But, like, just a character. So, anyways, Tramble had the academics qualifier, but went junior college. So he could leave after his freshman year. So goes Independence, averages 23 a game at Independence as a freshman qualifier. But he's the number 20 ranked player in the country in junior college. You know, there's all these rankings that, you know, JUCO top player. He's 20th ranked player in the country as a freshman. That's very rare to do. We couldn't recruit him out of junior college. He probably, you know, he said he had probably 40 or 50 offers, and he had a million offers out of junior college. And so he goes to Southern Miss. The year was okay. It was up and down. There's a lot of things that kind of went weird at Southern Miss for the whole entire team. And so he just didn't really, I think, enjoy the whole experience. Gets back in the portal. There's two more years of him, though, so it's not just 1 year. He's got 2 years of college basketball. Now, if this 5-for-5 thing goes in, he could have 3 years. But he is only a sophomore in college, finishing as a top 20 player in JUCO as a freshman year, and then playing in a league that's, you know, Southern Miss and the Sun Belt. It's a really good conference, right? So anyways, the story with him is that he actually kind of came up and watched his practice 3 years ago. And Coach Klope on our staff was recruiting him and dabbling with him out of Oklahoma City. So he comes up. And I didn't know the story initially when we were recruiting, but the kid and his dad had come up and watched his practice. He's been in our practice. He's been on camp. So, like, a lot of our stuff is like, we don't just recruit random guys. There's got to be something with a relationship, a connection. Otherwise, we just can't get him. And when he came on his official visit, he showed a picture of him at our practice. I'm like, let me see that picture. And it was Jaron DeJure and St. Thomas Theo. He was in our gym that year.
No kidding.
Yes.
Wow.
So that was the start of it. Like, okay, how are we going to really, you know, get a guy like this? Because, again, we can't outbid and outpay guys for these kids. Like, it's just not going to happen. I mean, people understand the money side of this thing. But he wants to be a part of a winning program. He's been in our gym. His dad, who really follows a lot of this stuff, he, you know, 3 years ago was at the practice too, and he's like, this is what a practice should look like, a Division I practice. This is when the kid was in high school. So that seed was planted in their mind years ago. And so it's really cool that we got that. Now, from a player, we were looking for a bigger, stronger guard, right? We, you know, we got Delano. He's going to be a huge piece of this and explosive, fast. We wanted to get a big, strong guard where they could theoretically play together as well. But the physicality, like this kid's big, strong dude. I mean, he's, I don't know, what he is, 6'2", 6'3", 190, 200-pound, big, strong guard, physical. He likes to play like Danker offensively. Some, if things don't work out, he can poach you up, right? Mm-hmm. Like he can get you in the post. He can really shoot it. That translated to the Sun Belt Conference this year. I explained to the kid, it reminds me of like what Andre Spieth's career was. Now, this is way back in the day with Coach Leonard, right?
But sure.
Dre was the number one ranked shooting guard in junior college in America. We could not even remotely recruit him out of junior college. He went to Arizona State, played for Hurley. He was a ball-in-hand guy in JUCO, and then with Coach Hurley, they just put him in a corner. He's a sniper. That's not what Dre does. But at that level, maybe that was the move. Keontae's story is very similar. That, like, he was not like the point guard or anything. They put him off the ball as kind of a sniper two-guard. Keontae is really good on the ball. Like, he can hit guys in ball screens. You want to go under his ball screen and bang shots. He can make the read. So, like, that's the idea that, like, everyone's their own situation, but, like, his skill set in junior college – the way he was played, you know, or the way that he was kind of put in the lineup at Southern Miss was he was kind of off the ball all the time. He could do that off the ball for us too because he can really shoot it. But he can also, you can put the ball in his hand. So I just, what we were looking for, checked all his boxes, had a great visit. So anyways, we're really excited about Keontae. He's a good player, right. Really good.
You kind of mentioned earlier Rayfield too. I want to get into that a little bit of what you kind of see his role for this team.
All right, so let's get to Caden. So Caden's the last guy we signed so far. He gets us 12 guys. You know, when we signed Andrew Crawford, we kind of have him slotted like as a wing idea, could move all over the place. Trammell slotted as a guard, obviously. With Yamazaki graduating and with Ring staying in the portal, and he's committed somewhere. I can't reveal where he's at. He's already committed somewhere, but like I'm not going to spoil his thunder. We had our Bear Den Awards last night, and he was there, and he's been great in the whole process. But he is committed, and once they finalize, like this is where these things go: is you commit, but before you announce stuff, you know your people, your agent, whatever they need to review your rev share contracts, and that's kind of the way these things go. So he was committed 5 days ago, but until they make sure everything's you know the way they want it to be, he's not going to announce it. So Ring is with Ring gone, and with Ibu gone, and even Brock played some four when we played Brock, right? The final spot, and we're still recruiting the spot. The final spot, if you want to put a number, is the four. So we got to go get us a four, right? Caden Rayfield. Hey, I'm telling you, man, like, I am so excited about Caden as well. And here's what really gets really weird. So Caden Rayfield, obviously, we're recruiting a million names. And, you know, we get these staff meetings at 10 a.m. Okay, what do we got? You know, walk through this and that. Okay, now we need a four, and there's a million names popping up. Rayfield's name surfaces to the top, right? Clearly, I'm like, how can we even get this kid, right? Averaged basically 7-4, 7-5 in the American as a true freshman. Former four-star player, number one ranked player in the state of Oklahoma. And then he went to what's called the Diamond Doves. You know what OTE is?
No.
Overtime Elite, yeah.
Overtime Elite, okay.
Okay, so if you're bored, get on Amazon Prime and watch the documentary. So OTE was formed with the Thompson twins, Osir and Amon Thompson.
Yeah, yeah.
Of NBA fame, right? They were some of the first guys to go there, and it was like they created this league where you could either get paid right away in high school, they start paying you. This is like before it got a little easier to do this stuff, or you could be on the college track, preserve your college eligibility, but play in this like bubble of like these great players, and it's you know NBA training, whatever it is, kind of the model of what Europeans and Australians have, right? So, anyways. OTE started to expand. Well, there's one team, I could be wrong on this, but now there's one team in the West that plays in the OTE League. It's called the Diamond Doves. The Diamond Doves are housed out of Phoenix Prep, out of the facility. So when this name popped up, we're starting to do some research on Ken Rayfield, and he played for the Diamond. Well, Vince Delano did not play for the Diamond Doves, but he played for Phoenix Prep. Same place. Different teams in the facility in the heart of Phoenix. We're like, well, you know, we got this connection with Vince, and we know the people there. And then as we start recruiting Kay, we go through our Zoom process, and he starts talking about where he's from. We're on this group text, and Clope and Reed, like, Reed is recruiting Caden Rayfield. Clope recruited Keontae Trammell. Somebody on the say, hey, I just put this together, but Caden Rayfield played high school with Keontae Trammell.
No kidding, yeah.
I'm like, what? Yeah. They're both from Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
We're like, huh? Because we're not recruiting guys as package deals. They both, you know, one guy went junior college to Southern Miss. One guy went prep school. Now he's like, we were like, what? They did. They played a year of high school together. Now, that could be a bad thing, too. If these guys don't like each other, it's not going to work. So it's like, you know, we're traveling. Like, hey, do you know this kid? He's like, yeah, that's my guy, man. Kate raised my guy. And we're like, oh, shoot. Well, we're on a Zoom with him right now. Like, all right. So these things start to kind of connect a little bit. Our recruiting philosophy is regional and relational. We're going to try to get in-state kids, regional, right? And then it's just relationships. Maybe we get a kid from Tokyo, Japan, Ibu. But it's not like we're recruiting Tokyo, right? Maybe we get a kid from Phoenix. Maybe we get a kid from wherever. But they're kind of based off of like, okay, when we're recruiting a good player like Caden Rayfield, as I'm sitting with stuff, like, how are we going to get this kid? Like, we can't just outbid everyone for this kid. We don't have the money to do that. And this kid is clearly a really good player, which means in this NIL revshare world, he's going to make a ton of money if he wants to. But with Caden, man, the recruiting was great. It just all kind of, you know, synergized and synchronized and went through Zoom 1, Zoom 2, got him a campus. Great kid, great personality, great energy, you know, the whole thing. Dad came up with him. So as a player, 6'8", 200 pounds at least, big frame. You know, the games I really focused on in terms of cutting the films to evaluate was USC. He had a really good game against USC, and they had a really good game against Texas State early in the year. And I was like, man, he checks a lot of boxes. You know, he's talented. Again, you go back to he was, again, the number one ranked player in the state of Oklahoma. He was 27th ranked power forward in America. This is a good player, like really talented. But it's like, okay, that's great. How does he fit? And then like just getting around our guys and like, man, it just really synergized well. So to the point where like, man, we really hope we get the guy. Skill set, you know, you talk about defensively, rebounding-wise, this, that, checks all those boxes, you know, solves a lot of issues because, you know, again, we have a big hole that he solved. And then offensively, too, just he's skilled. He can shoot it. He can rebound it. He can drive it. As time goes on, I'm really excited to try to – because he's young.
Yeah.
How do we expand his game? It's a lot like when Ring Neary came in here first year after UMKC, right? And we're like, man, Ring's really talented, different players. But, you know, Ring had length, a 7'3 wingspan and this and that. Like, man, he's really – that's what I feel about with Caden Rayfield. Like, he is – he checks every box you want him to check, and I think he's got all the right stuff, the DNA, the winning, all the stuff fits right. So couldn't be more excited to get him to get the guy at 12, and he should have a massive role for us. He really should.
Is that kind of how you feel about all the new guys coming in?
Yeah,
they're going to have pretty significant
roles.
They
got to earn them, but like we feel like every new guy of the four guys, they all are starter capability type guys. And we never, oh, you're going to start this. Who knows, right? But they're all guys that check boxes, whether it's age, whether it's proven Division One, you know, experience. And I know Campbell Black hasn't played Division One, but like he's played against some real, real, real guys, and so like it checks all those boxes.
Well, my depth chart that I threw at you 2 weeks ago.
You want starters?
Is false.
I have no idea.
Up in the air at this point, but that's what you want. You wanted to kind of get enough guys to come in here that can really compete, and now it's a good problem to have. Where hey. You got to go earn that spot. You got a lot of guys that can do that.
Yeah, you know, we're only going to get to 14 guys total. We got 12 guys. We got a great balance right now. We've got to get another forward, another four man, if you want to put it like that. That's kind of where we're, you know, living in the Zoom and visit world right now. And we feel great about it. But yeah, I mean, the way the team's piecing together talent wise, Swiss Army knife wise, guys be able to play multiple. That's a key thing for me too. Is outside of like, you know, your fives. Hey, it's great they can swing to the four, but your fives, sometimes they get kind of like those are your fives. But everyone else who can play multiple spots because of injuries and things like that, like it's been a good thing.
Well, I'm excited to hopefully maybe we can reach out to these guys, get them on the whole show at some point. I would love
Let's
to chat with them.
Yeah.
Coach, so I'm excited about that. That was, you know, these last 3 weeks or so have been, as we know at this time of year,
That's
it's a
brutal.
Roller coaster because you're losing guys. It's just
brutal.
Nature of the business now. But then you're getting these guys that you're excited about too. So new opportunities. Speaking of new, there's always something going on in the college sports world where there's new stuff. But we've got two big things on the docket that I want to get your thoughts on. Obviously the five for five. Does that simplify things in your mind? Because I guess we would do away with the red shirt freshman, maybe even potentially the injury red shirt too.
Yeah, so a lot of questions. I mean, it does sound like, you know, as it got pushed Monday, it sounds like this thing's going to happen, right? So again, what do we know? What do we not know? So what we know, if this thing gets pushed through, is it starts officially with this incoming class of 2026. So, like, guys like Drew Payne, Jeremiah Hammond, Madden Smiley, those guys are going to get 5 years. Avery Smiley, Volleyball, she's going to get 5 years to play five. So I do think the redshirting thing, just throw that in the trash. There's no reason to do it. Now, kids, again, you have a roster of 14, 15, 16. You're not playing 14 guys, but it's beautiful that, like, you think about Tanner Rakita, you're like, shoot, you redshirt, should he not, this, that, whatever. Has a little role. If a guy blows an ankle, he's going to have a big role, right? But, like, okay, that makes sense. Well, Steven Ramirez is going to be really good. Let's redshirt him because we don't really see a huge role yet. Like, can we protect him? Can we preserve his eligibility? Those conversations are gone.
Yeah.
When this passes. So you know that. You also know, too, as it came out, that they're not going to retroactively apply this to the senior. So the Brock Wisnings, okay, if you want to file a lawsuit and whatever it is, like, by all means. But, like, it doesn't sound like they're going to blanket Brock and Zach and Danker and Ibu. Like, that's not happening. So those guys have to go file lawsuits, which I'm not saying our guys are going to do that, but, like, nationwide, that's the deal there. So now Brock has clarity saying, okay, I'm going to Europe. Okay, great. Because, again, there's like, well, you know, should I do it? Should I get in the portal? Should I, you know, go make $1 million? Like, you know, like, those are the things that you have to kind of look at a little bit. Okay, so you've got that. What I don't know, and I'm still trying to get clarity, and everyone is, what does that mean for – I'll just give you a name here. What does that mean for Vince Delano?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Does he automatically get another year,
that's
right? I don't know that.
Because they say it's not retroactive, but what about the guys that are in the middle of it?
No one knows.
Yeah.
I'm confused about that. So we're just kind of saying, hey, we'll see how this thing shakes out. So when you look at a big picture, though, I do think redshirting is going to go away. I don't think there's any reason to do it. Medical, obviously, you get hurt. But if the rule is what the rule is, 19, you have to start your clock by 19. It's dead by 24. You get 5 years to play 5 years. Okay, so that's what it is. And when you're 24 years old, you got to go. That's just kind of what it is, I think. So I think it does. I'm excited about it because all the goofiness. Everyone, well, you know, there's that JUCO year. And there are circumstances where people, like, yeah, like, you play two games, you blow your knee, like, you should get a medical redshirt.
Yeah.
I'm all in favor of that. But at the same point, if it's like 5 years, play 5 years, do players need to be in college 8 years? I don't know if I agree with that, you know. So 5 years to play 5 years.
Oh, boy. For me, it simplifies things. Since you and I started doing stuff together, Coach, you know, the COVID year, I was so confused because you got red shirts, you got the extra COVID year years. For COVID.
Yeah. That one, you know, JUCO year. Like the JUCO. Quinn Danker, like, he got his year back because of the JUCO, that JUCO deal, the Diego Pavia deal.
Yeah.
Well, everyone's like, well, everyone's a free JUCO. Your JUCO doesn't count. That's not true. That was a one-time deal that all those graduating JUCO guys got a free year. If Quinn didn't get that, he wouldn't have been here this year. He would have been done. And so we were so blessed that he got the year and he wanted to come back. And he actually just was named the athlete of the year last night at the Bear Den Awards. And him and Brock were on the Bear all-male team, which is cool. Like, this is all athletes. It was a cool thing. And I was just thinking about Quinn last night. And he came back. He's been training in Sacramento for the pros. So he came back yesterday. He'll be here through graduation. But all of his stuff's online for his master's program. So he's been training with the pros and getting ready for workouts, potential NBA workouts and things like that. But he came back. It's so good to see him, man. And what, you know, just a weirdo, man. And I like saying that publicly. He's just a goofball. He's just a weird dude. But the Mayor Greeley showed back up last night. And he was, you know, and he got the Bear of the Year, which was cool. But he wouldn't have gotten that award if he didn't get the JUCO year. But not everyone's, oh, everyone, no, the JUCO years don't count. Yes, they do. So, like, kids get bad information. Some of these agents have no idea what the rules are. Or, hey, you guys, no one knows what's going on. Like, this simplifies everything. Now, there's going to be a million lawsuits. Just watch with people.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But when the dust settles, when it passes, all right, you start at 19. Kids can't hide out high school-wise till they're 21 to become a freshman, which you could do now. International guys like this, you see all these international guys that are flooding over, which I think is great. We're getting, you know, we're I think, reaping the fruits of that as well. But you can't come in at the age of 22 and expect to get four years.
Yeah.
Right? Campbell Block's 22 years old. In his recruitment, like, you might get 1 year, 2 years, we'll see. But, like, you know, you're not getting four. He's like, I don't want to be doing this for 4 years. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, who knows, right? So, like, there's so many things, but I'm in favor of it. I think there's going to be lawsuits. It's going to be messy, but I think it's, you know, in the grand scheme, that's the trees. In the forest, it's clarity.
The clock, no matter what, right, starts at 19 or graduation.
My understanding is.
I think of, like, a former Nugget, Emmanuel Mudiay, who ended up going over to China his first year out of high school.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Because the college he was going to, they had all those issues. So you can't go to China for a year, come back, and then you get 5 years.
You might get 4 years.
You got 4 years at this
point. So, like, I think it's just the age is the only way to kind of control what's going on with the money and all this crazy stuff. I think it's a good thing. I just look from a dad perspective. Hey, man, you get 5 years. You get 5 years, man. So, like, he's going to walk in there and say, you know, am I redshirting? Am I playing? Like anyone else. Well, you're not redshirting if this rule passes, but, like, you just earn your role. But you get 5 years. So there's still not any pressure. Well, you got 5 years now.
Well, for you as a coach, you can say, hey, I don't know if my freshman is going to be a big-time player, but there's going to be more opportunities throughout the season where I can throw him out there and it doesn't mess
Drew
with
Page
anything.
Jeremiah Hammond, like, hey, man. Hey, like, we don't have to decide. And again, this isn't football. In football, they had, like, what, four games?
I think it was four, and then they moved it to whatever it was.
We have 0 minutes.
Yeah.
If you put a player in for 1 minute in an official basketball game, their year's done in the past. In football, they had all this time to kind of dance, and there's no dancing. So, like, I think it's good for us, and it's like, hey, you might not have a role early on. You might, I don't know. Like, it keeps it more competitive too. So I think it's a great thing.
So that one, obviously, I think it simplifies it.
Yeah.
So like a radio guy like myself, I don't have to look at it and go, okay, wait, he redshirted here. Oh, he got this and whatever. The other new one, coach, the NCAA basketball tournament is set to move to 76 teams. So we'll have more play-in games.
And I haven't read too much about it. It doesn't do anything for the Bears. Not to be spoiler alert. You're not going to see more Big Sky teams, Summit League teams, Big West teams. We're one bid leagues. I'm just telling you, it's not doing anything for us. But what it does do, and I think it's anything that can mess with what's perfect, I'm worried about because I think the tournament's perfect.
I know.
Now again, I'm still as long as we get that automatic bid. If you win the tournament, I'm cool. Right, I always say the day that we get ripped out of that, where you don't get the automatic bid, this level's not good.
Yeah,
you want to have a chance at the dance. At the end of the day, you want to have a chance. And it, well, you know, maybe it should be for the conference champs, not the tournament. That's semantics. That's fine. But as long as the Big Sky champ gets a chance to get it, cool. You just want the chance. If you ever got that ripped away, I don't care if it's 76 teams, 99 teams, we just want a chance. So as long as our league gets an automatic bid into it, it's good. I don't know what the, I mean, 76 teams. The only thing I'll say is this. It's not going to get a second Big Sky team. That's not happening.
Yeah.
But I do think the positive is that you saw this year the NIT was really good field, right? And then the CBI was going to be a good field, and it got canceled. Well, the way I look at it is it's, what, 8 more teams, I think, that get in? Because it was 68 to 76.
Yeah.
So those 8 teams that jump in there, that's 8 more spots for the NIT. That might help the Big Sky get a team to the NIT, which is a special, special experience.
Interesting. Yeah, that's
because now it's like those 8 teams that were in the NIT, they're jumping up, right? This is the funnel effect. They're jumping up to March Madness. Well, the NIT is not going away. There's no way. So the NIT, which is a special thing, now there's 8 more teams that get filled into that. Maybe that does, because right now, like, there's no guarantee a Big Sky team. Was there a Big Sky team in the NIT this year? No. Mm. We got in because there's this crazy formula. You have to average a 125. So when we got beat by Montana in the Big Sky Tournament Championship, and we were both awesome, we had great teams, right? So we both shared the regular season. This is 2 years ago. We both get to the conference championship. We didn't get in. The only way for a Big Sky team to get to the NIT right now is you have to win your championship, okay? And then you have to average a 125 in all the metrics. We were a 125.2.
Wow.
We got in by 0.2 points, which was great. And we played Irvine, and it was a cool thing. But even the NIT has cut the auto bids. Well, if you win your conference tournament, but you lose your tournament championship, that used to be the deal. That's not it anymore. It's this, and you have to hit this crazy metric. And so the NIT is so good. It's so, so good. So, like, I do think that might help the Big Sky level teams get the second team into postseason.
I don't know if you saw Jay Williams talking about this yesterday on ESPN, talking about, you know, this is really a power conference thing.
Yeah.
So, like you even said, it's not a mid-major.
No.
This is because most of those bubble teams that we're talking about,
the
Oklahoma States, like
Auburn,
a lot of those were just power conference teams. So, obviously, this was a power grab to ensure that they're getting even more from those power conferences. In your mind, do you look at that? Because I always look at the NCAA and I say, man, the rich want to get richer. So when I see power conferences, oh, this is really them trying to push for this. Do you see it evolving into something else. Like you said, as long as we have our automatic bid, do you see more deeper conversations going down the road where, you know, the power conferences get eight teams this year? They're going to want to keep pushing and pushing and pushing.
Again, that goes back to at some point in time you fear this level gets weeded out. You know, and kind of like what football
just
is.
Kill the spirit of this tournament.
Yeah, like, you know, football's FBS, FCS. I have zero interest in that level for us. I want to be having a chance to knock out the big dogs. I want to, you know, in the non-con, play the CUs. That's what we already do. But then, like, if you win your tournament, hey, you know, and once you walk between those lines of March Madness, and again, we got to get there, man, but we have the path to get there. And it's just – you think about this year, like the seventh-place team in the Big Sky tournament got there. Idaho, they were seventh. And they got there. And credit to those guys for making it happen. They had to win four games in 5 days, which I thought was extremely hard to do. Really, really impressive. But they had a path. The second you eliminate the path for our league –
you kill this tournament.
I think it kills the tournament. It kills a lot of it. And to be honest, like people write about this. I mean, you're going to see teams with for sure losing conference records in the Power Fours that didn't deserve any of this. Yeah. Well, look at our metrics. Well, that's because you all you do is play quad one teams because you're in that league. Mm-hmm. But you're trash. You know, you're 5-15 in your league, and you're getting in like. Come on, man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at some point, winning's got to matter a little bit, and it still does. And so, you know, teams in our world, they're going to get the one bid, it sounds like. But just so there's clarity, this 76 is not getting a second team for the Big Sky. No. That will never happen.
No, and honestly, probably not a lot of mid-majors are even going to be really looking at this either.
Think about Miami, Ohio. Like, no. They got in. They won, like, 32 games, and they were the last
team. They were barely in.
Yeah. With 30, like, come on. So, like, yeah, you better win your tournament.
So many things going on, Coach. I'm glad we're kind of putting the finishing touches on this roster. Still some work to do.
I hope by next Thursday, hopefully.
Probably by next Thursday. I guess so. I mean,
it could stretch into June. It could stretch into, I don't know. But hopefully by next Thursday we have more clarity, and that would allow me. We have our final Smiley family trip slated for the end of May after Matt's graduation and right before our guys arrive in camp. So we're praying that, like, okay, the roster's done, camp's rolling. Oh, let's plug camp.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, I know we're going to talk about that more and more, too.
Yeah, hey, if people are looking for the camp, go to uncbears.com, go to men's basketball. We got a camp link. And I'm talking about the kids' camp. Got two of them. I don't have the flyer in front of me, but it's June 1st through 3rd and June 8th through 10th, two separate camps. Or if you want to register online, Steve Smiley Basketball Camps.
I'm on there right now.
.com. And so we're going to start pushing that. But yeah, you know, with our local community, we've always had in those two camps, same structure as always. Like, we've gotten these things where there are over 100 kids in each camp, and it's like awesome. And it's just great for the community. And so if people are wondering or looking at this or that, we're pushing the stuff on social. We're doing the former camper mailings and emails, and we're working on every viable avenue and channel to spread the word. I want every child, and it's for the boys and the girls. It's everybody, you know, all gender, is that we want everyone to get this flyer, this information in front of them, and not just Greeley, but we get kids from Loveland, Windsor, Fort Collins, all over northern Colorado. We want everyone to see what this is, and it's an awesome start for the summer for our community, for our team. So we are going to start pushing that.
But. Player development camp on June 1st,
yeah,
and then elite camp on June 6th, then shooting and scoring camp on June 8th.
Shooting and scoring, yep. So, yeah, so it's rolling, man. So, yep, absolutely.
Oh, I've told you before, like, these camps, I remember going to these kind of camps when I was a kid. And they stick with you. They stick with you, man.
Our players work them, so you get a chance to meet the new guys. Like, it's just funny, man. Like, Matt has this old, you know, ball when he was of this age, this camp ball, and now all the guys sign it. And it's right on there, Dalton Connect and Daniel Kuz, all these signatures. It's like, you never knew who the next Dalton Connect is.
Don't.
Never knew who's rolling through Greeley, man, that's gonna be. I saw, you know, Dalton last night on TV, man. Like, how cool is that?
Oh, it's awesome.
It's cool.
It's
so, like,
awesome.
To be able to not just forget the autograph, but to work with these guys all, you know, it's like, it's hands-on. So I get super excited.
No, and I even remember, like, the camps that I went to, we didn't have – Division I players. Yeah. It was just, you know, coaches were awesome too. But and that stuck with me.
And our coach there too. It's the guys.
Yeah,
it's something else. Our guys. You know, the Langston Reynolds. Like, you know, who's you know, the Brocks. Like, who's going to be Quinn Dank or the Mayor Greeley? Right. Like, who's going to be the next guy? Like, who knows, man? But it's a really fun start to the summer.
Yeah. Again,
and I think really affordable too. So we try to keep that price down as low as we can to get as many people in as we can. Like, that's a big thing for us.
SteveSmileyBasketballCamps.com. So
yeah,
check that out.
Check
coach,
it out.
Always appreciate it, man.
Yep.
We covered a lot of ground today. We caught up. I think we're caught up.
We're caught up. That makes me feel good. So we keep rocking and rolling. Guys are last week of class right now. Finals are next week, and they're gone, man.
Wow.
So it's land that plane and then a little time off to kind of, you know, for the guys to rest and recharge. And then we get that ball rolled out June 1st and new team starts.
Now, I'm looking forward to following all of it along with you coming up in the next few weeks.
Sounds good. Okay.
All right, Coach. We'll talk to you soon.
See you.
The Two Man Game podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!